gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, howdy. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Well, what a surprise.
What?
The Rude Pundit has joined me live in person. Why?
Sleep off of the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
He was one of the very select smattering of people at Mama's Sad Little Cocktail Party on Saturday, and he can't get enough.
No, not at all. I thought it was very nice, though, that you presented us with your vajazzling. And
thank you.
Yes, it was. It was an odd thing to celebrate, but a splendid time.
We were like, I was saying, we were like liberal teabaggers, Chris. We were just. It was a small smattering of mm-hmm. liberal media elite.
Oh yes. Yeah.
We misspelled signs. It was beautiful.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris Lloyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, and the returning Rebecca Taylor. Who is back in the hizzy, as they say. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, bitch.
So, absence has not made the heart grow fonder, then.
Yeah, why'd you send me to Tool Academy? I mean, I know I have a bad attitude and I, you know, smack you on the butt too much, but was that really necessary?
Yeah, that's why I had to move to New York and you had to go, you know, take care of your little, your issues. Now, Rebecca, what are you? You sound just as surly as ever.
Yeah, I'm totally thrilled to be back.
Were you and Miranda out, like, pounding Jell-O shots last night and sharing your...
Yeah, very
your
good.
War stories.
Right. Yeah. A big shout-out to Miranda for dealing with your BS.
Well, at least she only had to deal with it from 3,000 miles away.
That's true.
See.
Did you find your highlighters okay?
Actually, I do need... look at your back. I need more printer cartridges. Get on that, please.
Screw you.
Black one's on the color. Get on it. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Everything's back to normal now. All right, Mama will be on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
Oh, fun.
So tune in for that. Rebecca, are you impressed? I could tell. Was that a...
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I just woke up. What? Yeah, I'm totally impressed.
What?
All right, whatever. Who cares? All right. And meanwhile, don't you wish you guys lived here? Well, first of all, can I just say every friend from California called me to move in with me now? I'm like, no, you've been making fun of me. People like you, Chris Lloyd, calling it Calcutta and making fun of New York. Now who wants to come live with Mama?
Sean.
Had a little earth shaking out there and suddenly.
Yeah, but Sean was just telling me before you got there that there was gangland violence there Times Square.
Yes,
people
the cab driver told me that this morning.
Yes.
So what, right, Rude? It's another day, so it's Monday.
Yeah.
There was a stabbing, so...
We don't even pay attention to that anymore. It's not like the earth is shaking and stuff is falling off our walls.
I didn't feel it.
I was telling the only in New York story. I told you there was a guy that was screaming at me that I'm a racist because I have two white dogs the other day. And then, like, on a nightly basis, my bedroom is actually on the street. So in the middle of the night, like, a guy came by singing last night at the top of his lungs some crazy song. And you're just like...
Yep.
New York.
Yep, that's what you got to deal with.
No, thank you.
I know, that's the only thing you ask the cabbie, right? Oh, stabbing, is that going to affect traffic? Should we go through the other way then?
Exactly.
Should we take 7th then? That's
right,
the only thing that pops to your mind.
And then you look and see, is it, you know, anybody I know? No, we're good.
No, it's all right. Chris, did you guys, and Rebecca, did you feel the earthquake?
No.
What was it, 7.2?
It was a 7.2, but it was centered, like, south of Mexicali.
Yeah, but wait till Jim gets here. It makes everybody go, the big one's coming! Yeah.
So,
literally every friend I have called and asked if they can move in. I'm like,
Well, it was people in Palm Springs really felt it. There was damage in Palm Springs.
Oh,
yeah.
I have to call my friend that lives there.
Yeah, I called my friend who lived there yesterday, and he said...
I hope it didn't damage the fabulous Riviera Resort where Mama goes for her yearly Brazilian butt lift. Just saying. That's the only thing I care about. All right, so lots to get to today. Eric Bollert, senior fellow at the Center for Media Matters for America, to co-host Right Wing World next hour, and lots of other stuff to get to. Oh, Rude.
Yes.
Oh, you know who was almost came, Chris? Because you know I have this fantasy of moving to New York that I would sit around in my living room trading quips with Frank Rich, that the opinion page of the New York Times would just jump out of the page into my living room.
Sitting around the Algonquin Round Table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a Noel Coward play, me and Maureen Dowd and Frank Rich. But Frank Rich actually almost came. And
really?
Yes, he lives in my neighborhood, I guess, but he had a thing with a guy somewhere and couldn't. Mm. But next time he says, sure.
Whatever.
And rude.
That's what Frank Rich always does, though. He always promises that he's going to show up and then...
backs out at the last second.
Rude said something, as you can imagine, yesterday. It was very rude at my party.
Okay.
If Frank Rich came.
If Frank Rich came, I was going to punch him in the junk. Punch him in the junk and then when he was rolling around on the ground thinking, oh, my God, I thought we believed the same thing, I'd say, yeah, but then you'd remember me, Frank Rich.
I think it's probably best that he didn't show up.
Yeah.
He just, Rude had a, he had a strategy for making sure Frank Rich never forgot him.
Yes, right. And now I will probably have a restraining order on me for Frank Rich, which is really kind of an honor.
Which is just a little more pub for you, and why not?
Sure.
All right. We had the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money was there.
Uh-huh.
Kate Clinton, famous comedian. Rude Pundit, famous blogger.
Mm-hmm.
And another, it really was. It was a liberal teabagging. It was a small smattering. I think there was, it was actually, I was hoping that it would turn out to be sadder so it would be a better story for today. I was hoping it was just like me and like two other people in one balloon. But it wasn't. It was about 13 of us. It looked all right.
It was delightful. There was more wine than I think God could drink there.
I overstocked a little bit, as you'll be surprised to know, Chris.
Well.
Oops, left over for me. Oh, well.
Shucky darn.
Yes. Rebecca, you must miss my drunken soirees.
Yeah,
I'll have to come back to L.A. just to have another drunken soiree that you can sing karaoke at.
Yeah, and I'll be fixing your roof while you're partying inside.
I don't believe... See, you make things up. I don't believe I ever made you do household repairs.
Okay, your memory is a little fuzzy. But
I got you liquored up, and I gave you a karaoke mic, my friend.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, though. Did Susan Sarandon show up at your party with a bunch of ping pong balls?
No. Although that would have been fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would have been cool. You have the weirdest celebrity story.
I know. Rebecca, as you know, I am the biggest loser in the world, which you can attest to.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I told Ruta I planned this really like last minute on a holiday weekend because apparently some people have lives and plans and I don't know.
Stuff.
Families, kids, something.
Pet
I don't
shock.
Know.
Whatever. Yeah, total shocker that you would do that again.
I was reduced to begging. Somebody's like, well, we're taking our kids to the Bronx Zoo. I'm like, please. Come after that. They'll think the dogs are polar bears that got to the zoo, please.
It really was just like a stop on somebody's marathon where people came to get their water.
Did you have to pay some people?
That's how pathetic I am is when people would email their regrets, then I would email back and try to talk them back into it.
Yeah, what's the guilt trip?
Offer them cash.
Begging, yes. Yes, cash. I'll give you a bag of cash if you show up. Hi, Vey. All right. Lots of great stuff to get to. The president went to, he went to Mass. Not the child raping.
Okay, good.
Another
good.
Church altogether.
Because then they'd have blamed him.
Yes.
It's a church where, I'm sure they'll mention this in Right Wing World tomorrow, Chris. It's a church where, in case you haven't noticed, they're all black.
Really?
Well, he wants to feel comfortable on Easter.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
It was a historically black Methodist church in southeast Washington. A boisterous crowd of more than 1,000 people welcomed him at the Allen Chapel AME Church. I believe the president had some Easter thoughts yesterday on Washington, etc.
Amid the storm of public debate, with our 24/7 news cycle, in a town like Washington that's consumed with the day-to-day, it can sometimes be easy to lose sight of the eternal. So on this Easter weekend, let us hold fast to those aspirations we hold in common as brothers and sisters, as members of the same family, the family of man.
What did you do for Easter, Rude? What does the Rude family do for Easter?
Well, let's see. I dyed eggs in vodka because you need alcohol to do that.
Because we were celebrating when Jesus rose from the dead in a bunny suit and then hid... colored eggs.
Yes, and then bit off the heads of the disciples. I think that's what he did.
Uh-huh.
And it was that and watching Jesus movies, because nothing to me says Easter more than watching many, many fake Jesuses get crucified.
Yeah, I can't hang with the Jesus. I did see that because I have my raging insomnia as usual, and I'm like, oh, Jesus movie. Oh.
Oh my God.
I cannot watch. Chris, what's the Mel Gibson one? That's like
The Passion of the Christ.
That's like a splatter film, isn't it? It's like a...
Yeah.
I like...
It's like a Gallagher concert.
It was
more
bit
blood.
Overdone.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one because I can just sit back and pretend like... I can have drinking games to it, you know.
Yeah.
If flesh flies off, I take a shot.
Yeah, Mama doesn't like the violent films. That was a little much, Mama. All right. So the Rude Pundit is at, he blogs, you know.
Yes.
At rudepundit.blogspot.com. And here's one of my favorite headlines. Kansas late-term aborts Scott Roeder from Society.
Yep.
Yes. He was the man that murdered George Tiller, was convicted. He'll die in prison, essentially.
Yes, yes. I love how people were confused at the idea of life without parole for 50 years. It's like, well, that means that he'll be 102 before he's even eligible for parole. And
right.
Yeah.
And my favorite point you made, Scott Roeder conviction demonstrates we can successfully try terrorists in a civilian court. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What makes him that different than the guy that shot up Fort Hood?
No, exactly. You make a good analogy on that it really is amazing how blatantly racist they can be on the right about, you know, what kind of terrorist we have to try where. All right. And then our favorite, Tony Perkins, a great blog about that. We will be back with his rudeness. No, but mother blood. No.
Not that Tony Perkins?
No, the one from the Family Research Council.
Okay.
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Rude Pundit on a Monday, Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Julie from Seattle writes, Dear Steph, Bill O'Reilly will be so relieved. The Obama family attended Easter services at AME Church, so it was a black church where black people go to worship the black Jesus and yell, Mother, get me some more iced tea. Jason in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hi, Jason.
Stephanie. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Wanted to let you know, I think I've heard you for like over a week now talking about how you were called a racist for having the two big white dogs.
Yes.
And I feel terrible about that. I'm also a dog lover. And I just want to help you out and, as a black man, offer myself to service you out in public just so
Thank
that
you.
People will see that you are not a
that
racist.
That I'm not a racist. I appreciate that. How's Times Square for you at noon today?
On my way.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I'll show that guy that called me a racist.
That's right. That's right. You know, and it'll only work if you actually have the white dogs there and demonstrate that they won't bark at him.
Chris, you can attest I've been called an N-word lover quite a few times.
Yes, you have.
And to which I say,
computer says yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I prefer you not use that word, but yes, indeed I am. Thanks for asking.
You love all kinds.
All right. I've also been called the F word for a gay man, which I'm not. That just confuses me.
That makes no sense at all.
I'm not really certain what. But okay then.
Computer says yes.
You don't look like a gay man at all.
I will be an honorary F word for gay men. That's fine. All right. So can you take out your organ for me, please, Chris? Rude Pundit at rudepunditblogspot.com. Writes about the Family Research Council. See, I love that you get on these lists, so you get all the right-wing whack missives.
Yes, yes. And the ones I'm not on, people subscribe me to, which I appreciate. Thank you.
So you can see what they're up to over there. Rude writes this week, the mainstream media has been all abuzz with the pronouncement by Tony Perkins. He's of the Family Research Council, the Christian conservative. He has said, don't give money to the RNC. Every article and news report associated with the action talks about the expenditure, as you say, of $2,000 worth of drinks and bondage at the douchiest nightclub in L.A. Have you done research to know that it's the douchiest, or is that just your...
No, I think it was the photos of Lindsay Lohan there and Paris Hilton there. And
it's douchey.
Know,
yeah.
And that they let Michael Steele in, or people associated with him.
His peeps. Mm-hmm. However, only a few mentioned that the FRC's action is really about hating the gays and pumping up its own coffers. Rude Pundit, of course, ferreting this out. The FRC exists at this point for two reasons, forcing women to have unwanted babies and stopping any and all advances in gay rights. Not only was Voyeur offering lesbian bondage acts, but the RNC recently hired lawyer Ted Olson on a campaign finance reform case, and he's the guy that's fighting for the gays.
Yes, yes, how dare he.
FRC prayer targets for the Super Duper prayer team are mostly about getting God to put the smackdown on the evil gays gang up the joint with their gayness and all the traitorous non-gays letting the gays get things gayer. The Rude Pundit joined the Super Duper prayer team a few years ago under a nom de Rude, and every week he gets a new prayer action of orders of, we want God to smite. So yep. that's the gays is all, that's all the smiting this week?
Everything they want us to do is always about the gays. It's either about the ENDA Act, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We got to pray that that doesn't pass.
Yes.
We got to pray that gays aren't allowed in the military. We got to pray that, you know.
What do they suggest we do about the gays that are already in the military?
Oh, I think we've got to get rid of them.
Oh, I see.
We've got to go after them like a gerbil in a sex act and dig in and see what we find, and it'll make us happier once that happens.
You know, one thinks that perhaps, Chris, that wouldn't be the type of analogy that the Family Research Council would want someone to use.
I don't know where they stand on that.
Well, they seem to be, you know, so, I don't know, smitten with the gay over there. Everything is gay, 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 gay.
Yes, very obsessed. Yep. My goodness.
It is. And so they were upset that that the RNC was hiring Ted Olson, who defended Bush in Bush v. Gore. So you'd think he'd have some street cred with them.
Little cred. Yeah.
But because he's opposing Prop 8 out there, that they think that you don't want your money going for the gay.
No. By the way, did you see... Oh, boy. Here's another one of these stories, Chris. A psychiatrist who allegedly cured gays through torture is accused of sexually assaulting male patients.
Oh, jeez. There, Edith.
Wow.
Jeez.
Who would have seen that coming?
Mm-hmm. Apparently not the patients, but, you know.
Hey.
A number of patients have come forward with allegations that an Alberta psychiatrist sexually assaulted them. The psychiatrist formerly lived and worked in South Africa during apartheid and allegedly oversaw the so-called aversion therapy used on gays in an attempt to cure them of their homosexuality. It's one of those, you know, it was those gay chick centers. There's a lot of
Oh, so I thought it was like trying to teach a young boy not to smoke. You give him too many cigarettes, and that way he stops.
Right. So you give essentially too many...
And
you don't want to smoke them anymore.
That's right.
I see. For 5 years, he was employed at a South African Defense Force hospital where gay men who had been drafted into the military were reportedly subjected to aversion therapy, in which gays are giving electric shocks in an attempt to cure them and convert them to heterosexuality. But that didn't...
Computer says no.
That didn't take, I guess.
Do you know what happens when electroshock is applied to certain areas? It's not always unpleasurable.
Yeah, this really was like an S&M thing for him,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
This was really more like, All right, well, that's another one of those stories.
Wow.
You electroshock might just give you a more fabulous hairdo, and then that would totally backfire.
Yeah, it would. It would.
Yeah.
Then you'd go out and people would ask how you got that and where did you get that hairdo, and everybody would want it.
Exactly. Which would essentially make you gayer. So,
wow,
totally backfired.
That is not a version.
Yeah. Okay, you also write this week about Army Lieutenant Colonel Terrace Lakin, is that how you say his name?
Sure. Let's go with it.
Who said, in the Army, obviously. He said, I'm today compelled to make the distasteful choice to invite my own court-martial in pursuit of the truth about the president's eligibility under the Constitution to hold office.
No.
In other words, I am a idiot.
Yeah.
As the Rude writes, he even got his Congressman Zach Womp of Amule, Tennessee... I've never been there.
You don't want to.
To forward the complaint to the Department of Defense. He was just told that Barack Obama wasn't his commanding officer, according to the Army regulations on military justice, and therefore his grievance was bull. Which is, it's just a hilarious story.
It is.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more on with Rude Pundit on the left-right violence debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is this hot?
piece of ass look 42 to you? Or does she look like her name is
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, joined by the Rude Pundit live in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show, all hour with us. This is very exciting, live in person.
Yes.
He was forced to go to my small, sad little cocktail party Saturday, and now here he is again.
And I ended up with blood on my hands at the end of...
He has a great New York story.
I left Stephanie's party and was walking down the street, and there was a bleeding old lady laying there, and... A friend of mine and I stopped and saw that she had fallen and was bleeding profusely from her head. Oh. She had actually...
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. You're a New Yorker and you stopped? You stopped and helped?
I figured...
You didn't just step over her?
No,
so
I didn't.
You didn't stand on her so you could be higher, sort of better wave a cab down?
You know what, I thought she might turn out to be wealthy and give me a tip. So I just helped her, and, you know, she took pictures, took her phone and took pictures of where she fell because there was a large crack in the sidewalk, and she, with her bloody hand, handed me the phone.
Aww.
And I had...
is a magical story.
Yes, and I called...
She stepped on a crack, and she almost broke her back, Chris, you see?
Yes.
Your mom was right.
She would not stop bleeding. It was really...
Oh, dear. And you helped.
I called 911.
Wow.
I stayed until the ambulance arrived, and then I took her purse.
And that's the end of that story. I don't believe that last part.
No, I did go and scrub my hands like I was getting ready for surgery after.
You remember that famous story right from the 70s, right? This woman got stabbed, right? There were how many witnesses?
And 26 or something.
People were like, I don't want to get involved in that.
I only remember that from a TV movie. It's all, my cultural memory is all TV movies.
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Hi, kids. Happy Monday. And Rude, it's great to hear you on the air. You have the best verbal razors ever, ever.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I wanted to let you know, yesterday I'm watching Fox because I lost a bet, and they're having an argument. They had some blonde bimbo on, imagine that, and she's saying, hey, this Republican mother on, and she's saying, because marijuana has become the second biggest crop in Afghanistan with $94 million last year, by trying to legalize marijuana in California, are we not only sending the wrong message, but in essence, aren't we possibly funding terrorism? And this Republican mother says, well, I don't know about that. That might be taking us in a different direction. And this blonde says, well, speaking of different directions, some people say that using marijuana can lead into using cocaine and harder substances.
Some say. Well, it did at my party Saturday. That's all I can say. I don't know what I meant by that.
I'll never be able to cover up the track marks you left on my wrists. my knee. It's better.
Wow. Speaking of California, Chris, I skedaddled out of there just in time, didn't I? Not only the earthquakes. What is this breaking news? Proposal looks to raise tax on wine in California by 12,675%.
Yeah, they're proposing charging a $5 tax on every bottle of wine.
Oh, local wine growers say a proposal to tax wine $5 a bottle will kill their business and the California economy. Can you kill it again? Along with it, it's an excise tax. Wow, yes, $5.11 a bottle. Yep. Money from the tax would fund programs that address alcohol-related injuries and damages.
Oh, my God.
If they did that, that would be an alcohol-related injury and damage to me. Oh. And then I would need the money.
It would have cost at least an extra $500 at your party.
It might have saved you the damage that you caused to your eye.
It was not drinking related.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of violence, the Rude Pundit has a great posting on this week on right-wing versus left-wing violence. Conservatives desperately try to justify. It really is. I mean, you were saying Pat Buchanan.
No.
Desperately scrambling back to, I don't know, the 60s or something.
He was complaining that, you know, he was trying to get home to his wife and during the Nixon administration, and that protesters were rolling logs into the middle of the street, which apparently is not a euphemism for anything. It's actually rolling logs.
Really? Okay.
So he said, you know, look at that. That's what they were doing to stop a war, not try to say we don't want poor people to have health care.
Yeah. I mean, you were saying it. There's all these out-and-out proven incidents of real violence and killings and whatever that are right-wing rhetoric related.
Sure.
And they just...
Sure. They always leave out the whole Timothy McVeigh thing because, yeah. You know, that was a crazy guy and doesn't represent anything about what they believe, except with Sean Hannity now calling an audience. You're all...
So Pat Buchanan having a log roll over one of his loafers would be...
Yes, yes. No, it was...
Congruous to Tim McVeigh. Okay.
Yes. Well, no, it would be the same thing. Right, yeah. It would be the same thing as having a fake bullet go through Eric Cantor's blinds or something. Or I guess it was a real bullet, but just...
Actually, it was the building next to Eric Cantor's building.
To Eric Cantor's building. Eventually, it's going to be that it wasn't... It was a bird that actually hit the window and freaked him out and...
Exactly. All right. Rude, since you are here and you are, you know, you're an internet phenomenon, blogger extraordinaire.
Oh, my God. I can't stop the internet from invading every aspect of my life.
I guess we are required by law to talk about the new, the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I have regular computers, you know, at home. You saw it Saturday, and then I got the iPad for light days.
That's beautiful.
Did you really get an iPad?
No.
I didn't think so.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're
not. I don't even get it. What is it?
I'm a gadget guy, and I don't get the iPad. I'm not getting one.
No.
I don't. That's what I don't understand. But that's the thing is, we are a nation of dopes. People are like, oh, it's a new shiny thing from Apple. I have to get it. And it's like, what?
Yeah, I have an iPhone, and the iPad does everything the iPhone does, except my iPhone fits in my pocket.
Right, it's the iPhone, but bigger.
Exactly.
Right?
Here's what I understand. The on-screen keyboard are hard to use. Mm-hmm. It lacks a camera and ports for media storage cards and USB devices, such as printers. It can't play flash video,
right.
And it can't run more than one program at a time.
Right.
But people are going crazy over it.
Yes.
So they began Saturday, right, selling the iPad?
Yeah. I don't mean to have a get-off-my-lawn moment, but, you know.
Yeah.
But get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, you know. what the heck? I don't
James,
know.
One of the people who quoted here, James Stewart, it's like a gorgeous woman. You just want to touch it.
Wow, that's a man that's never touched a woman.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I have. Her boobs were like bags of sand. Apple must convince people who already have smartphones, laptops, e-book readers, set-top boxes, and home broadband connections they need another device that serves many of the same purposes. But the scores of people who waited in long lines were just cheap. That's all. Seemed willing to buy first and discover all its uses later. Beth Goza likened it to a professional tennis player owning different pairs of sneakers for grass, clay, and concrete courts.
Really?
Mm. She's a self-described nerd. She was the first person in Seattle to also get the Segway personal.
Oh, God.
And she's also somebody that's never actually stepped on any of those courts.
So if she has if she has a Segway, she's a mall cop.
Could be.
Okay. Because that's all who has Segways now are mall cops.
So I don't get it. It's essentially, like you just said, Chris, it's a much larger version of the iPhone without calling capabilities.
Right. You can't call people. You can't take pictures. Mm-hmm. You can't take video.
Right.
What's the... Exactly.
Is someone that wants something bigger than an iPhone but smaller than a laptop?
It's a fancy lava lamp, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? You just stare
like
at it.
I'm playing charades. What's smaller than a bread box and bigger than an iPhone and does absolutely nothing?
Huh? I think it's the iPad.
Well, it does stuff, but
it does
the same stuff as the iPhone, except the iPhone can make calls and you can put it in your pocket.
Yeah, I love that people are like enamored of the Scrabble app. Oh, my God, we can play Scrabble on it. Hey, I got another way to play Scrabble.
Yeah. take the board game out of your closet, put it down on the kitchen table, play Scrabble.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sorry that I can't carry it with me in a bag.
Exactly. So here's the bad thing about, well, you know, as you know, I'm a bit of a technophobe, but technology is biting cheaters in the ass around the country. There's a new word. You should know this word. Being a top blogger and all. Is it
texting?
Am I getting that right, Chris?
Yes, texting.
It's cheating and texting combined.
Really? Is this what Tiger has done to us?
Yes. Tiger Woods and Jesse James. You might like texting, frown upon sexting, but now comes texting. It can lead to big trouble, ask Tiger Woods and Jesse James. They have seen their lives unravel amid revelations of cheating on their spouses in part by arranging liaisons via text messages. Their affairs have spawned the newest word in pop culture, texting.
Yeah, let me give a little advice to every would-be cheater. Only do things face-to-face, or only do things, like, verbally. Don't ever put anything in writing.
See, people probably have already used their iPads to cheat, I'm guessing.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know how, but, you know, Maybe you use it to tempt somebody over. Hey, want to come over and check out my iPad?
See, I have, and we have learned on this show the dangers of letting friends tweet bored, right, Crystal Boy? Okay, he doesn't want to talk about that. We don't talk about that. That's the incident we don't talk about anymore.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
The tweet
we
that
have
dare not speak its name.
We have too much technology to get in trouble these days, is all I'm saying. Cheating, just stray thoughts, you're drunk, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Florida woman arrested after emailing a very provocative photo. There's that, too. People just feel the need to...
Pictures of her lady parts.
I don't get this. I don't even want my dogs to see me naked. I have self-esteem issues. I don't know who these people are that are like, you know, I think someone needs to see a picture of my coochie. I think I'll get on that right now.
The lighting is always so bad on those, too.
A panhandle woman and her live-in boyfriend face assault charges after she emailed nude photos of herself to quote-unquote other dudes. Kizzy Campbell and Johnny Lowe, the police arrived to check on reports of a family disturbance. Campbell had locked herself in the bathroom, so deputies interviewed Lowe. He told them he had discovered multiple internet chat messages from other dudes to Campbell on the computer. Lowe stated he looked at the outgoing messages and discovered Campbell had taken a photo of her vagina and sent it out.
You know, I'm
You're like, why are all these guys calling?
Yes.
Oops.
It's not like sending a picture of, is that her best asset? Is her vagina just like, you know, this is what you need to know me for? Hey, don't look at my eyes. Look at my vagina.
There's more. Lowe told deputies he confronted Campbell when she returned home and she started tripping because she hadn't meant to send out the photo. You see, Chris, how technology snags you? Mm-hmm. You know how you send out a picture of your coochie and you didn't mean to? See?
If you have a coochie.
She probably, or something. Or your whatever.
Sure.
See what technology does for us? We got we need to have that thing, you know, what's the thing they have? The drunk thing that lets you, that makes you put something in draft file before you send it if you're drunk?
Yeah.
You have to do a complicated math problem.
Yeah. I think she was just taking a picture to make sure everything was okay down there. And then,
See, there should be like a coochie catcher on your email, like a filter, so you don't accidentally do this. Oh, did I hit send? Darn.
Gmail has Google, Gmail goggles, where you have to solve a complicated math problem.
Oh, I meant to send that to my gyno. Oh, oops,
right.
I send it everywhere.
Well,
okay.
Well, there's an app for that, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
For your iPad.
She apparently convinced him. That's the guy I need, the guy that's dumb enough to go, really? You sent a picture of your vagina out by accident? Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
All's forgiven, honey.
Multiple times.
But when Lowe tried to hug her, she bit him on the shoulder. Lowe said Campbell then grabbed a large kitchen knife and cut his arm. Some people just can't take I believe you as an answer.
Wow.
The argument lasted all night long because Campbell was tripping, according to the boyfriend.
Wait, it lasted after the stabbing? So they're just sitting
apparently.
There.
Apparently. That wasn't even a conversation ender.
Right. They were just bleeding and talking. That's the way it is when people are too enamored of technology.
Arguments I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that story, Ed. Appreciate that, whoever sent that. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. Oh, John, Grampy McSame learns the dangers of Twitter as well, by the way. Technology has snagged Grampy as well. We'll tell you that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not if you don't want to get paddled.
Stephanie Miller.
You wouldn't believe what we're watching on the TV, me and the Rude Pundit here in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. So these kids, high school students, where was this?
Was it in Florida? Or I think it was in Florida.
Yeah, some of them, they felt the school thought they wore inappropriate, you know, dresses or whatever to the prom, and they could choose either suspension, 3-day suspension, or paddling.
Can you
high
do that?
High school kids. Yeah. And I'm looking at one of the dresses. It's not inappropriate. She just has, you know, a big rack is all.
Oh, and she bought the dress like off this well-known prom dress site, and there was not a single dress that would meet the guidelines that the school had set out.
Yeah.
Like they'd have had to add an extra layer to it.
It's like back to Catholic school. Holy cow. Paddling already.
Mennonite prom. That's what they wanted.
All right. So we've been talking about the dangers of technology last hour. McCain Twittered his way onto a gay porn website.
Excuse me?
What'd I do?
We've all done that.
Senator John McCain's voyage into the... See, that's... They shouldn't... Old people shouldn't let other old people try to, you know, Twitter and...
Whatever.
It's so sad. Grampy trying to seem hip, isn't it? Senator John McCain's voyage into the world of new technology hit a snag when a self-pic he posted on Twitter recently popped up on a notorious gay porn website. He was just trying to show the world that he could take a picture of himself on his iPhone, huh? Look at me. Look at me, kids.
Was he taking a picture of his junk? Was he...
When somebody ripped the image from his Twitter page and posted it on Guys with iPhones, a website featuring men clutching their phones and...
and their junk.
Also their...
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, damn it.
He's, you know, he's tapping on it like a telegraph is probably what's going on.
He's trying to call the Pony Express on his, you know. All right. Thank you, Grampy. All right. So I think as we mentioned, the breaking news on... why is your head in your hands, Chris? Come back.
My head's not in my hands.
Oh, you know what then? Guess what? Skype is frozen. Have you ever seen Speed when they freeze the camera?
Oh, so he could be doing anything right now.
Yes. Every once in a while it freezes.
I'm taking a picture of myself with my iPhone.
Oh, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put it right next to McCain's, right?
Yes.
You're a couple.
Good. All right. So I think the breaking news, as we mentioned on Friday, good news on the jobs front. The White House claimed credit for reversing the downward economic spiral. By the way, you know, if you look at all the graphs, Rube, it looks like they have reversed the downward economic spiral, in my opinion.
That's, you know...
It's hard to argue with graphs.
Yeah, but you know what? That's just what socialism does. You know,
it's tricky like that.
They're socialist charts.
Yeah. Given the depth and length of the recession, the White House wants to cool expectations of a rapid economic recovery before the elections. The economy added 162,000 jobs in March, the most in nearly 3 years, which you would think most people would say, well, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the right wing. No.
The computer says no.
Lawrence Summer says we got a long way to go. We inherited a terrible situation, the most pressing economic problem since the Great Depression in our country. But literally, I mean, that's to me the best way to look at it. If you look at the graphs and, well, you know, the last, what was it, month of George Bush, we lost 770,000 jobs that month. I mean, it just went up and up and up, and it literally has been going down and down and down steadily ever since Obama got into office. And I'm just unclear how you can argue with that.
Well, objective facts are really socialist constructions. They're the only fascist, communist, tyrannical, socialist Kenyans really can have such kind of...
I think Nancy Pelosi put out a chart. Again, easy to follow. The economy is moving from job destruction, you see, toward, go with me here, job creation. And yet, the right wing, not happy, the president on Friday.
Even as we pull out of this immediate crisis, we've got to tackle some of the long-term problems that have been a drag on our economy. That's why we've been working so hard to turn this economy around. It's not quick, and it's not easy.
By the way, we will hear this coming up in right-wing world, so you know the spin is, you've heard this already, Chris, that it's the job growth was mostly from the census.
Yeah, I heard that.
Computer says no.
No. So the U.S., the employment in the U.S. increased in March by the most in 3 years, signaling the economic recovery will be sustained. The RNC immediately responded by releasing a briefing that claims the job growth occurred mostly due to hiring census workers. They just don't let math and facts and stuff get in their way over there, do they? The RNC's claim bears little relation to reality. Of these 162, see, that's the thing, is they can actually count. There's numbers involved in this, Rude, when you do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 162,000 jobs added to the economy last month, 123,000 were in the private sector.
Poindexter, what are you talking about?
The federal government didn't hire nearly as many census workers as thought. It was the private sector that stepped up to the plate, according to one top economist. In fact, the Census Bureau hired only 48,000 workers. So that is easily shot down, like the dopey right-wing clay pigeon.
Mm-hmm. And if it had been George Bush president during the census, they would have been hailing, you know, how beneficent he was to hire all of these people and thus turn the economy around.
The president again on Friday.
There are some limits to what government can do. Government can't reverse the toll of this recession overnight, and government on its own can't replace the 8 million jobs that have been lost. The true engine of job growth in this country has always been the private sector. What government can do is create the conditions for companies to succeed.
Boo, socialism. Okay, Kenya. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Vollert from Media Matters for America joins us to co-host a rollicking right-wing world as the Rude Pundit hangs with us all 3 hours here in the New York Bureau.
Yes.
And the Emmy-winning voice deity, Jim Ward, joins us next as well as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, there is becoming a theme on today's show about technology biting people in the ass.
Uh-oh.
I tell you what, with the advent of the iPad, it's just a... We will get to that later. Celebrity stack up some breaking news. There's a sex tape, is it, Chris, between Jesse James and Sandra Bullock, America's Sweetheart?
Yes.
In which...
This is all alleged. Nobody's
She's
seen it yet.
She's receiving the kids are calling it a Dirty Sanchez. And... Rude Pundit has already speculated rudely that maybe he was trying to make a Hitler mustache, and that's not even, that's outside the bounds of decent conversation. All right.
I'm not even sure you can say the DS phrase on the radio, but oh well.
I didn't even know what it was until you told me the last time I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think ignorance is an excuse.
Yeah. Sure.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Susie in Castle Rock writes, oh, Steph, wait till you have this conversation. We've been mocking the iPad all morning. Wait till you have this conversation with Hal Sparks, who's totally smitten with his new iPad. He tweeted that he's in a nerd coma thanks to his new Apple toy. Uh-oh. I'm going to get in trouble.
Can
all
you
right.
do a Heimlich for a nerd coma?
I don't know what you do for a nerd coma, exactly. All right, but you know what? It's Eric Vollert time for some right-wing world. Eric Vollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Vollert.
Come on, baby.
Eric Vollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Vollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Vollert.
Good morning, Eric Vollert.
Good morning.
This is a gathering that would make Bill O'Reilly's head explode. We have far-left blogger Rude Pundit here and vile smear merchant Eric Vollert.
Hey, Eric.
How's it going?
All right.
And as a fellow blogger, Rude was saying that he is so enjoying your fight with Andrew Breitbart, who
yes.
does not seem to get that you're baiting him and just keeps taking the bait.
Well, he claimed his work was done and he was going to stop tweeting about Media Matters, but... He can't, and so it continues. And now his site today is basically saying Tom Hanks doesn't like working with black people, so he's
what?
Out race baiting Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and you know, just in case you know people didn't you know haven't been following, you know, when Breitbart went down to Nevada for the Searchlight thing, he got up and he said the media had firebombed Sarah Palin's church. Haven't seen any evidence of that. And he's still obsessed with this whole egg-throwing thing, which he compared to Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City.
Oh, who threw eggs where? I must have missed that.
Well, you didn't miss much. There were some Harry Reid supporters who threw some eggs at a Tea Party bus as it rolled through Searchlight.
It's sort of like Kristallnacht.
Breitbart is obsessed and is a week now. He's still obsessed. You know, these Christian right-wing militiamen are arrested for plotting to kill cops, and the right wing is obsessed with these egg throwers and comparing it to Timothy McVeigh. So there's a slight lack of perspective here.
Yeah, Rude Pundit wrote earlier about Pat Buchanan complaining about a log that rolled over one of his loafers while he was working for Nixon. To, you know, what's happening today and Tim McVeigh, et cetera. Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah. So you also write about the, I love Fox News. It's just, they're the official sponsor of the teabaggers, aren't they? At this point, they make it so we're just covering this grassroots
whatever
thing. But they said it was going to be the conservative Woodstock, right?
Well, it's Searchlight, yeah. It was going to be the, you know, the press keeps pretending or reporting like, you know, the Tea Party folks can gin up these huge crowds. You know, the AP has this analysis out today saying, you know, congressional elections, the Tea Party movement probably not going to be that big a deal in November, but boy, they can still generate a crowd. I mean, they had 8,000 people in Nevada. I mean, you know, there are countless high school football games in this country that get more people than that. I mean, so, you know, it was supposed to be the Woodstock, and it was like 8,000 people wandering around in the desert.
Looking for mud to roll around in.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got Fox News, you know, essentially co-sponsoring these events, and you're still only getting like 8,000 people, that's pathetic.
Yep. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. Oh, it's another entertaining edition of Republicans eating their own. Oh, Michael Steele.
I think Steele is a good guy. He's a good politician.
Sure.
He has a lot of promise, I think, but I think he's in the wrong job. This is a job for somebody who wants to stay behind the scenes, who raises funds, who works on the bureaucracy, who works in a quiet way. That's not what he does.
Check,
but that's
check,
not
check.
The way he rolls, Jim.
No. That's the way I roll, baby.
What, you know, I pray daily, Eric, that they don't get rid of Michael Steele because he's the worst RNC chair ever, isn't he?
Well, and he was on Good Morning America this morning, right, and suggesting the race might have something to do with the in-house fighting. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
He played the race card, really.
Against other Republicans.
It did come up, so we'll see how the right wing handles that, but
he really will knock over small children getting to a camera, won't he?
Wow, I can't believe he played the race card. He said so it's not because he's a giant asshat that can't keep his mouth shut and raise any money. It's because he's black?
Well,
that they don't like him?
I think he suggested there was a different standard. I haven't seen the clip, but I was reading the headline. Oh, wow. So it's out there now. So the blogosphere is going to have to deal with it.
That must mean his job must be in peril if he's playing. That's pretty desperate. Because that's what people keep saying, that no matter how bad it gets or how bad he is, they can't fire him when we have the first black president in the White House, right?
Hey, we got a black guy. Look.
Jim, it gives people the crazy notion that the Republicans aren't open to diversity.
I just love that Krauthammer's saying he's got a lot of potential. Hasn't he peaked?
Yeah.
He's got promise. Yeah. All right. Liz Trotta on the Fox News on the you'll love this one, Rube. This is on the Catholic Church scandal.
The real reason for this, and that is that on top of the Times agenda, is making homosexuality acceptable, making gay marriage acceptable, and making abortion acceptable. And the Roman Catholic Church stands in their way on these three items that are the top of their agenda.
That's what it's all about.
You see, Eric, that's what happened there, is the New York Times, it's part of their agenda.
Well,
because they're covered millions of children being raped around the world, and that's normally that really shouldn't be a story that should be covered. But
I'm not sure advancing gay right agenda is best done through doing stories about rampant pedophilia.
Right.
I mean, I don't really see the connection there.
Wow.
So that's sort of an odd take that the Times wants to highlight this increasingly disturbing.
Don't you
problem.
Love that? That's not really a big enough story to cover.
Now, you see, pedophilia is sort of like the marijuana of homosexuality. It's the gateway.
Jeez. All right. Rich Lowry in for Hannity with the talking point about the new good job numbers. They have to put a bad spin on it, of course, because it's good news for America, bad news for Republicans.
Democrats are spinning the new jobs report as proof that the economy is beginning to boom. The numbers released earlier this morning by the Labor Department show 162,000 jobs were added in March. Mm-hmm. However, a closer look at the data shows just how deceiving that number really is. Is the surge in the government and temp jobs the answer to turning the economy around?
Yeah.
Matt,
well,
is a liberal bias.
Actually, 123,000 of those jobs, Eric, were in the private sector.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you read the front page of the Times and the Wall Street Journal the next day, I mean, they had all sorts of analysts and economists saying, you know, it is what it is. It's good news. But you know, at Fox News.
There's a way for it to be bad news.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, and I kept thinking, my gosh, what, you know, this is the party of Ronald Reagan. You know, you now root against America. It's really amazing to see this conservative movement crossing their fingers for higher unemployment.
Right. Yeah, it makes your head spin. Didn't they just say that Democrats are pessimistic? They're talking down the economy. They're talking down George Bush's fabulous economy. Look what they're doing. You know?
Yeah, and if you listen to the analysts, if you listen to the economists, this is not, we're going to see more of these numbers in May and June, July and August, and et cetera, et cetera. So my hunch is, you know, Lowry and the folks over at Fox News and National Review are going to have to come up with a different talking point, because from what we understand from experts, not the people at Fox News, these numbers are going to become pretty commonplace in the coming months.
Yep. All right. O'Reilly and Glenn Beck and that little delightful circle jerk they have every night.
Right, so here's Beck, and he's been on the air for 1 year at the Fox News channel. It's amazing that you haven't been fired yet.
Really is.
Right? A couple
really
of close calls. You know, I saved you a couple of times.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Only two.
I said, if Beck goes, I go.
Right.
And I said, well, not really, but it sounds good.
Ew.
Please don't fire me.
Wow. All right. Glenn Beck on the Fox News.
It's really interesting how polarized we have become. And
that's great.
I admit I'm part of that in many ways. We all are. Because as we were going, I don't think we realized how far apart we were from some of these uber left people.
I think he's talking about you, Eric.
The soothing tones almost fooled me there for a minute. Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, as O'Reilly mentioned, you know, it's been a year. It's been more than a year. I mean, I think he came on Fox the same week Obama was inaugurated. But this idea that, you know, we're suddenly polarized, I mean, this was the noise machine's plan from day one, which was just to go berserk from inauguration day. I mean, they were putting people in the streets like 6 weeks after Obama was sworn in. And that has been the plan the whole time, to just create just this massive amount of chaos and this notion the presidency becoming unraveled. So
Eric,
it's been done on purpose.
I want to get your reaction to the president's comments about Beck and Limbaugh and their reaction when we come back in a skosh more right-wing world, all right?
You got it.
All right, there he is in the sidecar, Eric Bollard. In the meantime, Rude, did you see my P90X chin-up bar?
No.
At my apartment at the cocktail party?
You were doing chin-ups while drinking cocktails?
Yes, I was. I was showing off on my P90X chin-up bar for the party guests.
I thought that was just some dance move.
All right, because he was saying that we could make some extra money on a peep show here in the New York Bureau, because I have, there's curtains or there's, blinds in front of my studio.
Yes.
So we could open those, and I could do a peep show now that I'm in P90X during the commercial breaks. Make a little extra cash. It's all because of P90X. That's right. It's my home workout. I love it, love it, love it. You pop in a DVD, you get a different workout every day. You use mostly your own. I've gotten a bunch of questions on this, Chris, because people want to try it. And they're like, what kind of equipment is there? Mostly it's your own body weight, right? Yeah. But there are bands.
The bands come with the system, absolutely.
Right, it comes with it. There's a chin-up bar.
Mm-hmm.
You can use little hand weights if you want.
Right.
But you can modify. That's what I love about it. You can do it anywhere. You can do it on the road. You can do it at home. You get either a strength training, a cardio, a yoga workout. It's just a great, great workout, and it works. You can do it with Mama now. Take the challenge. You can get a 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with Mama for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. What do you have to lose except that flab? Call now, 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now. Click on that P90X banner ad. Get in beach body shape with Mama for the summer. 19 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters and the rest of Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Someone writes on the live blog about my sad little cocktail party that I had Saturday night.
Yeah, they said your life is getting more and more like Norma Desmond's every week. Hearing about your sad little soiree reminded them of the monkey funeral in Sunset Boulevard.
Very close. Very close.
I was wondering why you wanted me to shave your shave my head and wait on you.
Welcome. There's a dead monkey upstairs.
Max! 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 Max!
Here's my dog, Max. All right. We are joined once again by Eric Boulder of Media Matters for America. Wow, Eric, you were right. Michael Steele this morning said he and Obama have slimmer margins of error because they're African American.
Yeah.
And in his case, disastrously incompetent. In addition, I guess he didn't.
It's interesting because, you know, the whole right wing, certainly the blogosphere and the sort of noise machine is saying you can never talk about race. So it, apparently now, you know, Michael Steele is breaking all the Andrew Breitbart rules and is raising the issue of race. So it's a whole,
well,
it's a total mess because everyone,
conveniently ignoring all the blatantly racist rhetoric and signs in his own party at these teabagger rallies.
You cannot mention it. It is the worst possible thing in American politics is to bring it up. So now the head of the RNC is doing exactly what you're not supposed to do. So I'm sure it'll get messier.
All right. So you probably heard the president had some thoughts about Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck.
That's right.
Where was he doing an interview with Harry Smith?
Yeah.
Let's see. He said, asked generally about the level of enmity that crosses the airwaves. He said, well, I think when you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck, it's pretty apparent and it's troublesome. But keep in mind, there have been periods in American history where this kind of vitriol comes out. It happens often when you've got an economy that is making people more anxious and people are feeling like there's a lot of change that needs to take place. But that's not the vast majority of Americans. I think the vast majority of Americans know that we're trying hard, that I want what's best for the country. So, Rush Limbaugh, did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
He said the president's trying to trick him into talking about himself and would rather engage in character assassination than debate conservatives in the arena of ideas.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh would never talk about himself on the air. It's not his way.
He is such a wuss. I mean, honestly, it's embarrassing. I mean, Obama's asked a question about right-wing hate radio. Obama mentions Limbaugh in his answer, and Limbaugh, like, it's like he's seen a mouse or something. I mean, he's, like, up on the stool. He's sending out emails to Politico talking about character assassination. I mean, this is what he does for a living. I mean, he just smears people, character assassination, all this misinformation.
No, you're misinformed. It's the president that engages in character assassination. He would never call Nancy Pelosi a eater or anything like that.
They will do anything they can to discredit the Tea Party. There's no reason that group of people from Congress had to walk through the crowd. They never go to the Capitol that way. They get there in the underground tunnels.
They had it coming.
They want, and Pelosi carrying that big gavel with that excrement-eating grin on her face. They were trying to provoke everybody into an incident.
Sure.
And when it didn't happen, they said it did anyway.
They're trying to defend themselves against that giant mallet.
See, walking now is that's
yeah,
that's
work,
your
yeah,
offense.
That's provocation.
Yeah.
I think they had mallet envy.
All right, Gargano, Gaspag, Rush Limbaugh, one last.
Well, I think they are afraid of us. Ooh. I think they are afraid of us. That's why they're doing what they're doing. They know that they cannot govern with the will of the people because the will of the people isn't with them. So they have to go against the grain. They're definitely afraid of us.
There was an election.
But they're using their power. I mean, they're a regime. You know, we no longer have an administration. This is a regime.
I guess it's time for regime change would be his point, Eric.
Yeah, well, you know, this is all part of the larger, you know, sort of insurrectionist folks have to rise up against this government because it's become tyrannical. And, you know, it's very much, you know, the militia message
right.
from the 90s. And this is all this is all the same thing. This is not a legitimate government, and it has to be overthrown.
Yeah, and Rude makes a good point that this is hilarious, that Rush Limbaugh has the impression he's never talked about himself on his show before. He said, I think the president was trying to distract me to get me talking about me on my show instead of talking about him and the regime's agenda, but it won't work. I'm wise to their tactics. I know a majority of Americans are angry at the regime's constant attempts at character assassination.
Meanwhile, Sean Hannity wept that he wasn't mentioned.
Yes. Meanwhile, he's rocking somewhere in the fetal position. Yeah, unbelievable. All right, Eric Boulard from the Media Matters for America. Thank you so much, sir. We will see you next week.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes, Eric Boulard. Yeah, that is a...
Regime! It sounds communistical.
Exactly.
And Kenyan.
I wonder if that was a Frank Luntz word.
you know, one of those.
Yeah, regime. Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you don't agree with the president's policies, is there really anyone that thinks the president engages in character assassination or name-calling? It's like, oh, you said it, so it must be true, Rush. Yes, you don't engage in that.
Well, that's what gloating is, isn't it? That's isn't that what they say he engages in also?
Yes.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with the Rude Pundit and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
His age has made her very wise.
They say your 40s are when you really get to know yourself.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. Join live in studio all 3 hours by the rude pundit, his rudeness himself, live in person.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As we continue, the president talking about the economy Friday.
We learned that the economy actually produced a substantial number of jobs instead of losing a substantial number of jobs.
No!
We are beginning to turn the corner.
No, boo, bad, census job, no, Wow, you know when things maybe have begun to turn on Fox Business? What's his name, Stuart Varney?
Yes.
Who I always think is that guy that played Earl, but that's somebody different, right?
Ernest, yeah.
Ernest.
Yeah.
No, it's a different guy. He's a Fox News business guy, Fox Business Channel guy. So he had a former Bush Labor Secretary, Elaine Chao, on who tried to give this negative spin on And even on Fox Business now, they're starting to... Yeah. He had to shoot down the negative spin because at some point, on a business channel, you can't really say... Look at the graph. That's bad. What?
Right.
I don't. President Obama, of course, called the report encouraging. His economic advisor said it showed continued signs of gradual labor market. Paul Krugman described the job numbers as meaning the patient is in stable condition. Conservatives, however, have sought to rain on Obama's parade, falsely claiming the numbers are a disappointment because they're mostly due to hiring census workers, which is,
you're a lying sack of crap.
As we've explained many times already this morning, the numbers don't support that, the vast majority in the private sector of the jobs, so that's just not. What's the word, Jim? True.
Did Fox Business point out a possible conflict of interest with Elaine Chao? That she is married to Senator Mitch McConnell?
Huh. I forgot about that. Ooh. Wow. Let's just forget about that visual, trying to kiss him for a minute.
I know. I didn't know she was mail order.
Does she need to use tweezers to find his lips?
Rude.
Oh, rude pundit.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's a possible conflict of interest there. And if they didn't point this out, then, yeah, Fox Business.
I think she does need tweezers to find his lips. Yeah. Before you, how can you kiss him? You need to something, right?
Mm-hmm. Looks like Fox Business is participating in shoddy.
You wouldn't even be able to understand him saying, honey, I'm home, would you, Jim?
Honey, I'm home.
What?
I do have lips, but they're buried back in the back of my skull. Right around
that's
the
sexy
foramen magnum, but way back there. I got to dig for him.
What's that space between your nose and your lip called?
Yeah,
It's enormous. It's like an open desert there.
So on Fox Business, Mrs. McConnell, Elaine Chao attempted to spin the numbers negatively, but the host, Stuart Varney, who has been cynical about the administration's economic policies, wouldn't buy her spin, telling her that this is not a blip on a one-month basis. There is a trend. So if even on Fox Business they're having to say,
Neener.
Yeah. The president on the economy.
Being able to provide for your family, that doesn't just affect your economic security, that affects your heart and your soul. It beats you up. It's hard. So we have to be mindful that today's job numbers, while welcome, leaves us with a lot more work to do.
You know where they don't seem to be having any trouble economically, like most of us, in the private health insurance business. Why, this is quite shocking. Angela Braly, CEO of health insurance giant WellPoint, saw her compensation jump 51%. to $13.1 million in 2009.
That's a lot of cancer treatment not given.
Uh-huh. Stephanie, can I have a 51% raise?
No.
Computer says no.
Don't be ridiculous. I'm getting ready to talk to you about your pay cut. At least three other WellPoint executives got compensation increases of as much as 75%. Anybody else you know getting those kind of raises these days?
Of course, nobody I know has killed a bunch of people to make their money.
Yeah. See, if you two would kill more people for me, I might come up with some more money.
Well, you're Anthem, sick. We're not going to cover you. And I get a huge bonus.
Mm-hmm. Whee! Her boost comes as WellPoint's California subsidiary, as you know, Anthem Blue Cross, seeks double-digit rate increases for many of its 800,000 members. So that's where they get that money for.
I think that she should just go door-to-door and ask people for money. It would just be pretty much the same thing, wouldn't it?
By the way, double-digit hikes have been implemented or are pending in at least 11 other states among the 14 where WellPoint's Blue Cross Blue Shield companies are active. Isn't that nice?
Wow. You know what would have stopped that? Public option?
Why?
I don't know. Crazy thoughts.
It's all right. The president again on Friday.
As Americans and as human beings, we seek not only the security, but also the sense of dignity, the sense of community that work confers. That's why it was heartening news that last month, for the first time in more than 2 years, our economy created a substantial number of jobs instead of losing them. We've begun to reverse the devastating slide, but we have a long way to go to repair the damage from this recession, and that will continue to be my focus every single day.
See? Succeeded defeat. We got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Jim, as the official historical economist of the show, which I just made you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Seriously, what has this ever happened in the history? I mean, when you're coming, let's say the Great Depression. I mean, it does not turn around that fast. That's the thing. It's like if you look at these graphs, it really is getting better and better. I mean, is that ever even possible? Could we have gone from losing 770,000 jobs a month to gaining, you know, I mean, it's not even possible, is it?
Well, it happened.
I'm saying to increase. Like the right wing, obviously, is saying it's not enough. It's not fast enough. It's not. But I'm just saying. How is that possible that you could turn it around that quickly?
It took years for the New Deal to really take effect.
That's what my point is. You're the economic historian of the show.
And Roosevelt, unfortunately, listened to some of the deficit hawks and put the brakes on, and suddenly a lot of the gains were lost in 1937 and really took World War II to dig us out of that hole. But full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes. Keep doing this.
It's the 21st century. We don't have time to wait. Everything moves faster now.
That's true.
You know, we got to have our bipolar, swinging numbers back and forth.
I got to have my iPad by Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
All right. Austin Goolsbee from the Council of Economic Advisors on the job
numbers. To get numbers like what we're seeing now is definitely a major, major turnaround, but we've got to go farther to get the unemployment rate down, and the president is firmly committed to that.
The economy always does better under Democratic presidents. It's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California.
I need not remind you that this is a time of great economic anxiety for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are rightfully asking, where are the jobs? Why is Washington raising taxes in times of recession? Doesn't anyone care about us? Is anyone actually listening?
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Is that Stuart Smalley? Who is he?
Yeah. No, that was my uncle.
That's your creepy uncle. Wow. I've never heard that particular congressman.
He's, he's forceful.
Yes.
Where are the jobs, please?
What happened to the job?
He kind of sounded like Bobby Jindal in that state of the, or that, response speech.
The page. We are Americans.
He sounded like Peter Lorre.
We can do anything.
All right.
Americans can do anything except do a good rebuttal to the president.
In the words of Chris Matthews, oh, God. All right. We were talking about this doctor. You saw the sign. The doctor tells Obama supporters go elsewhere for health care. This is in Mount Dora. I'm not certain where that is. A doctor who considers the national health care overhaul to be bad medicine for the country posted a sign on his office door telling patients who voted for President Obama to seek health care elsewhere. Dr. Jack Cassell, he said, I'm not turning anyone away. That would be unethical. But if they read the sign and turn the other way, so be it.
That's turning people away.
Yeah.
It says if you voted for Obama.
I have no control over that.
Seek urologic care elsewhere. Yeah. Somebody snapped a picture of it and sent it to Alan Grayson, our buddy, our pal, the congressman, who said the sign is ridiculous. He said, if this is the face of the right wing in America, it's the face of cruelty. Why don't they change the name of the Republican Party to the Sore Loser Party? I love him.
I do, too.
You were saying, you were talking about this guy, too.
He was interviewed by Alan Combs, and he apparently doesn't know anything that's actually in the health care bill.
How surprising.
Yeah, and he insisted that he actually said, well, I'm just saying what I heard on and read in right-wing blogs.
I'm guessing on where? I'm just reading talking points that were faxed to me by Fox News.
Yes, and you know, in Florida, to tell somebody to take their urologic problems elsewhere is really cruel.
You're probably not going to be able to hold it long enough to get to the next office.
Right.
Yeah. That's the... All right.
Shouldn't he lose his license to practice medicine or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know the...
Yeah, that's kind of against the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, isn't that against the Hippocratic Oath?
He took the Hippocratic Oath. Which is
Jim Ward.
That's funny.
It's his don't ask, don't tell rule.
Oh, boy. All right. Some of them on the right, at least, are telling the truth. A Republican congressman has called out conservatives pushing blatant misinformation about the census. So they've been hysterical about this for over a year, right? The undermining the constitutionally mandated count. Crazy Michelle Bachmann led the charge, making outlandish claims about internet internment camps and proudly declaring in June she would not fill out her form. In violation of federal law, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh urged listeners not to fully complete their forms, with Beck warning that answering the race question would somehow increase slavery. Apparently, we still have it, and it would just increase it in his estimation.
Are we counting, I don't know, illegal immigrants as three-fifths of a person? Is that what's going on now?
We here on the Stephanie Miller Show are urging people to fill out their census form, and to everyone should say they are a socialist Kenyan who's had a French gay abortion.
I put on race the guy who did your sister.
Anyway, Republican Representative Patrick McHenry of North Carolina called out this blatant misinformation and urged all Americans to complete the census, as it is our constitutional duty. So once in a while, a right winger, good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, 40. You know what's funny is that Michelle Bachmann is also urging people not to fill out, their census forms. And I'm like, okay, go ahead and tell the people on the right not to fill out their census forms, because that means
her district will disappear.
Well, I think she stopped that since she realized it might get her unelected.
Yeah.
Yes. Suddenly it's a Jim Dandy idea filling out the census.
Your little gerrymandered little squiggle of a district would evaporate.
Yeah, Minnesota might lose that red district, and it might a blue district might pop up somewhere else. So, yeah, keep going with that, Michelle.
Say Congresswoman Terrell Clark. Say it with mama. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with more Rude Pundit live in the New York Bureau on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfy every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We'll get to the Sandra Bullock, Jesse James sex tape story. Just hang on. 51 minutes after the hour. Janet in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Janet.
I love you, Stephanie.
I love you back. But not in a sex tape kind of way. Not this particular sex tape we'll tell you about in a moment. Anyway, Janet, go ahead.
Well, I just want to let you know that I got my Ohio Anthem 36% rate increase over the weekend.
No way.
And I called them this morning and I said, I'm going to get other insurance, but I want to raise my deductible as high as I can and tell them. And they tried to scare me. They said, you have these other quotes, but they're not going to give you the insurance at that price, and you better be careful. You better stay with us. And it was really awful the way that they tried to scare me. And,
wow, they're becoming like the abusive spouse. That's they're actually, getting all needy when you leave.
That's
yeah.
actually congressperson worthy, a congressperson call worthy, yeah. I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah, I would I, absolutely, Janet. Call your congressperson, all right?
I will call Mary Jo Kilroy right away. Thank you.
She's awesome. All right, good. Paul in Orlando, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Actually, I'm a first-time caller and a second-time listener. But, I heard you talking about the doctor in Mount Dora, and
yes.
I actually live in Orlando. The local radio station here has been hammering this guy nonstop, relentlessly since this story broke. And overwhelmingly, people are totally against this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's thinking, but, you know, the area here in Orlando is pretty diverse. So I don't think he's going to get any support from anybody other than, you know, the Republicans up in his area. But
yeah.
I can tell you
yeah.
in the metropolitan Orlando area.
Well, somebody shouldn't have to worry that they're getting treatment if, you know, you disagree with your doctor politically. I mean, that's creepy.
He's got the Republican treatment.
Oh, sorry, honey. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, no, he must have a Republican treatment for you, and then that's where you really get cured.
Yeah. Yes. That's where you get the Alan Grayson just die treatment.
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you just hurry up and die? All right. Oh, Rude. Okay. Since Rude is here, I knew we'd have to do this story as soon as possible. Celebrity stack has been bumped up. Now, Rude and I were speculating, Chris, during commercial break, and Jim, you chime in here. This can't possibly be true,
no,
can it?
This sounds to me like some disgruntled right-wing racist who was disturbed about the movie about white people taking in a black guy into the family and is trying to attack Sandra Bullock in the crudest way possible.
Yeah,
but you have to wonder, what was ever the attraction between Jesse James and Sandra
He's
Bullock?
A bad boy.
Yeah, and what is with his Nazi memorabilia and whatever?
I want it to be true because it would be the greatest sex tape ever.
Well, let me try to clean this up for our little family radio show. The cheating Jesse James filmed himself allegedly having sex with his superstar wife Sandra Bullock, according to a bombshell new report. Chris, where is this from exactly?
Showbizspy.com via PopEater.com.
Okay. Well, you can read the actual details there. The alleged tape reportedly includes James, let's just say, smearing substance on Bullock's during various types of sex, a certain kind of sex. Lots of profanity hurled from both parties.
A filthy Gomez.
Sure. And a leather-clad James sporting a Hitler mustache with a brown hat with a swastika ramming a handcuffed Bullock's, backside with a shotgun in his left hand.
The shotgun was in his hand. He wasn't ramming her with the shotgun.
Right. No.
Just to be clear.
Yes,
that would be unsanitary.
Clear.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes.
Here's the most shocking part of this story. It says, meanwhile, Sandra is apparently considering giving her marriage with Jesse another chance. That's the shocking part of this story.
What?
Well, if it's true, it's hard to find someone who likes doing that.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's kind of a specialty.
Right.
I mean, you
have
met your match when you're like, you know, honey.
Here's what I like to do. Are you
I don't want to just try a new position. I want you to put a Hitler outfit and get a shotgun and smear some on my lip. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'd like to do tonight.
It just sounded like some kind of terrible Schindler's List reenactment. It's just.
It's true. Somebody's not doing any Steven Spielberg movies, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, kind of confusing stories on this whole thing. Another story, this is on, what is this, when.com, Chris? Bullock quit the marital home she shared with Jesse James in March, just days before the tattoo model. Went public with claims that she had been romanced by the reality star for 11 months while married to Sandra Bullock. TMZ.com reporting that a removal van arrived at Bullock's home on Friday and stayed for an hour while workers packed up a couch, a love seat, or in their case, a seat. And a large amount of boxes. James currently in rehab. I love this part of the story. In rehab in Arizona receiving treatment. It's not been confirmed what he's being treated for.
I'm
going to
guess. Maybe a
Hitler
obsession?
Perhaps a sex addiction that involves Hitler in some way.
And this tattoo tattoo model, Michelle Bombshell,
yes,
who sports seemingly white supremacist tattoos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's got a W on one leg, a P on the other. White power.
So confusing stories. Either they're trying to get back together and talking, or she's moving out. I can't really tell what the the...
It could be Witchy Poo. Could be for Witchy Poo. Maybe she's a fan of...
Yeah, that's what she does. She's a fan of H.R. Puff and stuff.
You'll never guess who defended both Jesse James and Tiger Woods. Donald Trump.
Oh, imagine that.
Yes, he said the he blamed Tiger's indiscretions on the tremendous pressure the star faces as a top golfing pro. That's funny. Kind of, aren't all of the pro golfers facing the same tremendous pressure? And I would think probably not all of them, you know, banging at 47 all cocktail of the, waitresses a weekend.
All of the sex messages I got from Jack Nicklaus, I think I should probably finally go public with.
Yeah, Donald Trump said, I think there's, I really think there's tremendous pressure you wouldn't understand from the world of golf. Apparently it's huge. Huge, Jim. Huge pressure.
Mm-hmm. So much pressure.
And the only way to relieve that, apparently, is to bang as many cocktail waitresses and porn stars as possible.
It's what Nick Faldo does. It's when he's not, you know, eating fried chicken or mocking Tiger for eating. Was it Nick Faldo that did that?
He also said, I know Jesse James very well. He's a tough guy and a smart guy. Oh, here's how Donald Trump knows there might be trouble in your marriage. He said, I always wonder why he didn't bring Sandra on the show. So, see, if you don't bring your wife on your reality show, clearly it's not real, the marriage. That's how he knew something was awry. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with more Rude Pundit, more Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Mama will be on The Edge Show on MSNBC tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller, and his rudeness joins us all 3 hours today in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
He was one of the small smattering of liberal teabaggers at my sad little cocktail party, my sad little monkey funeral that I had on Saturday.
Just batting one single balloon back and forth between each other.
Was Buster and Keaton there playing cards?
He has lived to tell about it.
It was lovely.
Thank you. Why, thank you. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, the Rude Ones column noted that Congress critter Zach Womp's district includes a mule, Tennessee. Is that anywhere near Rat's Ass, Kentucky? He wants to know.
I think they abut each other.
Okay.
There you
go. Hey, you see. You have a new posting just today on?
On the Pope.
The
Pope. Can we ever get enough of the lovable Pope?
I was going to say, by the way, Pope Benedict's personal preacher, did you see he apologized to the Jews for comparing the barrage of attacks against both the church and the Pope over a number of huge sexual abuse scandals instigated by the recent damning reports in the New York Times to collective violence against Jews throughout history.
Oh, wow.
No mention that the Vatican does not exactly have a spectacular record for intervening during that collective violence.
Right, right. Or during, you know, child rape and molestation.
Yes. Oh, and Pope Benedict made his Easter remarks yesterday. There was no mention of the sex.
But every time he talked about Jesus has risen, it was just laced with double entendres.
And what's really ticking me off about this whole sex abuse scandal is that the Catholic Church is saying that it's just idle gossip if you talk about or report on these abuse allegations. It's just idle gossip.
Wow, of 200 deaf kids is just idle water cooler chatter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Catholics shouldn't engage in that.
I loved on some New York station, they were interviewing people coming out of Easter Mass, and almost all of them were defending the Catholic Church, saying, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And I just wanted to raise my hand and go, well, I've never molested a child, so I'll cast a stone.
Yeah, I guess I will. Well, let me pick up a pebble here. What is your posting is five, what is it?
Oh, it's five ways you'd react if you reacted like the Vatican to crises in your life.
All right. I would recommend it. I'm guessing it's not for the kids, much like the Catholic Church.
Exactly. Yes.
Buddy in Columbus with some breaking news on Michael Steele, who he played the race card this morning on Good Morning America, didn't he, Buddy? He said he and Obama, yes. You know, hey, have Mom, a hard time because they're black.
Hey, Mama, two things. It's number one, I want to welcome Brett back. You know, being talented and beautiful is a full-time job.
That's right.
But, you know, as Robert Gibbs just laid the most beautiful smackdown on Michael Steele, because when someone said, well, how do you feel about Michael Steele playing the race card? And Robert Gibbs said without batting an eye, Michael Steele's problem isn't the race card, it's his credit card.
Oh, that's comedy.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, oh, by the way, Jim, he has defended his stewardship of the affairs and dismissed criticism as the criticism of Republican figures uncomfortable with his streetwise.
Yeah.
Because he's
streetwise,
baby.
That's just the way I roll.
They don't get how he rolls, Jim. They don't get how his hat is.
Look at the jaunty angle of my hat.
I got
cred, baby. I go to lesbian bars and order courvoisier.
I love that.
He's become that Saturday Night Live character.
I love that he's Huggy Bear. That's there was also the office expense that was liquor.
Yeah.
It's like they all watched Mad Men and thought, we want to go back to that time.
Wow. Chris, I would be, if there were such a store here, I'd be putting all their kids through college. If there was some place you could get printer cartridges and wine, I'd live there. All right, that's my life.
You should open up
show prep and drinking.
Yeah. You should open up a store, the liquor and printer cartridge barn.
There you go.
We're idea people here on the Stephanie Miller Newscast.
You could get a small business loan.
That's right.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, so Tiger Woods, obviously next week, the big week, returning to the Masters. He was always going to have a press conference. He will take questions from journalists at a pre-tournament press conference Monday. Mm. Any questions you have for him, Rune? Oh, if only we could get you into that press conference.
Oh, I just want to know.
The pundit here for the Stephanie Miller Show. I'd like to know.
Yes, I'd like to know that when you were being chased down the street with a golf club, did you find it ironic?
Is there? You don't have a Hitler sex tape with Sandra Bullock, do you?
No,
I'm just asking.
Do you own a shotgun?
I can always mispronounce her name. Elin. His wife?
Aileen. Probably, yeah.
She will possibly be at the final round if Tiger is in contention. Meanwhile, Tiger is confident he'll win the tournament.
I'm not a Tiger Woods fan, and, you know, I could give a crap less about golf.
Yeah.
But I really hope Tiger just kicks everybody all over the field.
Yeah,
I do. And yeah. Because
I mean, I think he probably will win. I mean, it's only, 36 hoes? He's done a lot more than that.
Right.
I'd like him to tweet from every hole or something, or text a mistress per hole. That would be something.
Yeah.
This one's for you, like when I blah 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 you.
Now watch this. Another porn star between 7 and 8, between the 7 and 8th hole. So there. Meaner.
Or with the 7th, never mind.
And I'm still 7 under par. All right. Rude, we've all been in bad relationships, but has anyone ever faked their death to get out of a relationship with you?
What? No, but it's the way I usually end a relationship.
Poor Olivia Newton-John. What is up with that?
That's so sad.
Olivia Newton-John's ex-boyfriend says, I'm alive, now stop looking for me. The former boyfriend of Olivia Newton-John, who vanished 5 years ago, has given private investigators conclusive proof he is alive in the hopes that everyone will now leave him alone. Patrick McDermott, missing since a 2005 fishing trip in California, reportedly sent voice messages and other documents to Philip Klein, who was hired by NBC's Dateline to track him down. He and his lawyer sent the proof in return for detectives agreeing to halt their search. He hopes not to be hounded any longer by investigators or the media, or presumably Olivia Newton-John, who... Clearly, there must have been some issues there.
I couldn't stand to listen to I Honestly Love You one more time.
He's not the one that she wants, apparently. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
All right. That makes me somehow feel some better about myself and my sad little life. It just does. All right. The other big breaking news this morning. Did you see this, Chris?
What?
Julie from Seattle. TMZ has new reports on Michael Jackson's doctor's homicide defense. He now says that while he was off in the bathroom for 2 minutes, Mr. Sparkle Pants Tappy Toes woke up and shot a whole bottle of that anesthetic into his own IV, killing himself. TMZ says Dr. Conrad Murray's legal defense is that Michael Jackson gave himself the fatal dose of propofol.
I see. All right. That'll go over well.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure he prescribed it for himself.
Yes, he exactly. Ran out to the Rite Aid, came back.
Yep.
All right, and the sad celebrity stack news as well. Dynasty and Charlie's Angel star John Forsythe has died at age 92. Blake Carrington. All right.
And Charlie.
Posthumous applause. Charlie.
Yes.
It's sad that that's the only thing that anybody remembers him for, are those two roles. The man had, 40 or 50 years before that of a career.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And all anybody remembers.
For those of us of the TV generations,
Well, sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward. He has the whole filmography of being killed in the first,
in the first reel.
First reel of movies, and now he's just known as the voice on...
Reel. Stephanie Miller.
What's that, Jim?
It's probably the third reel in Spider-Man where I got killed.
That's true.
Actually, a little further in. Do they even have reels anymore? Or is it all digital?
I don't know. All right. Mitch McConnell admits the Republican Party will probably not be able to undo the entire health reform law. Is this the most bogus bull you've heard on this whole health care thing? Talk about just being politics. They know they have no chance of doing this.
Right.
Even if they had a two-thirds majority, the president's going to veto it. So the fact that they're getting all these dopes ginned up about this... But that's what they're running on is repealing it.
Yeah, I think that's a good campaign is that you're going to go there and take health care away from old people and children.
I know. This really is amazing. I was just reading a new poll that, the vast majority of Americans are for financial regulation, for reform. And I'm thinking, how are the Republicans going to play this one now? I mean, they did a pretty good job of convincing almost half the American public that they really do want to be dropped for pre-existing conditions and not have... health insurance. Mm-hmm. And now it's how are they going to convince people? No, you don't want to regulate those people. The financial system's working just fine.
They're gonna get people to start burying their money in cans in the backyard and saying that that's the only way to support our financial system.
Exactly. All right, we will Mitch McChinless is just here's the one thing they're doing, Chris, is they're saying one thing in the media.
Yeah.
And then they go home and have to admit that's ridiculous.
Right.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McChinless said repeal and replace will be the slogan for the fall elections. Last week he told Politico he wants to repeal the whole bill and replace it with more modest reforms. But in his home state of Kentucky, McConnell backtracked. They're one after another, the Republicans are doing this now, admitting the Republicans will not likely be able to undo the entire law. He acknowledged there's probably not a chance of repealing the full measure while President Obama is in office. He said he's hopeful for Republican gains in the fall election. He said, will that make full repeal possible? It might not.
Has anybody ever actually won a campaign on repealing something other than prohibition?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the last sort of big pro repeal campaign?
Yeah. David Frum, who is, being thrown from the Republican tent for telling the truth, he also urged his fellow Republicans to stop giving false promises of repeal. I mean, not only is it a bad idea, but they're running on something they're not really ever going to, they know they aren't going to be able to do anyway. I mean, really? That's what you're running on.
It speaks to the intelligence of their followers.
Speaking of which, a perfect segue. Who has advice for the Republicans and the teabaggers? Dan Quayle will tell you what his advice is.
He's still alive?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Rude Pundit in the New York studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, joined by the Rude Pundit, all 3 hours today in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International.
Oh my God, this is like a marathon.
Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward, the man, meet back in the L.A. studio. By the way, you keep making fun of my disastrous move to New York, but who wants to come live with Mama now that you have earthquakes rolling in left and right?
I didn't feel
out
it.
There.
I didn't feel it.
Nope.
You didn't?
Nope.
Neither of you did?
No.
Nope. Sorry.
7.2. Hmm.
Yeah, but the epicenter was in Mexico.
Mexicali, so. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, but well, I have to call my friend in Palm Springs though. They felt it there.
They felt it in Palm Springs, and there was damage at a Barnes and Noble in Palm Desert.
Yeah,
yeah.
But see, it leads to everybody going, the big one's coming, and kind of move in with you. And let me just say now to those friends who couldn't reach me yesterday.
Computer says no.
No, you can't.
You know, there's an earthquake fault under Manhattan.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
There is.
Yeah.
There,
yes. Rude.
Right under 75.
What? You know what? It's fine. We won't notice.
Yeah, we were saying this morning, Jim, this is like typical New York story. My cab driver's like, there's been a stabbing. There's a big thing in Times Square. I'm just like, yeah, should we take 9th then? It's just, that's all you. Is that going to inconvenience me in any way?
That's just normal.
Yeah. We'll be flooded by global warming, won't we, too?
Oh, there's that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were wondering, by the way, we need to call Sean Hannity because it's really hot in New York now. What happened to your global warming, huh?
Yeah.
All right, because as you know, like clockwork, every time it snows in the on the East Coast in the winter.
Yes. Oh, no, it's not global. There's no global warming.
It's a hilarious comedy about how those lures are global warming now, Al Gore.
Oh, now that it's 20 degrees above normal here.
Although here in Los Angeles, we're going to have a high.
It's cool and raining.
A high in the 50s today, and it's raining.
Ha ha.
All that matters is what happens in New York. It's not global warming. It's localized.
Right.
All right. Former vice, as if Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann not brain trust enough for the Republican Party, Dan Quayle checking back in. He's urging Republican leadership to reach out to Tea Party voters, fearing a failure to do so could result in a 1992 redux. He compares the Tea Party movement to support for the independent candidate Ross Perot, remember that took support, so Bill Clinton won. He writes, to this day, we firmly believe that Ross Perot cost the Republican Party the White House. Well, we firmly believe that because he picked such a dopey vice presidential candidate, much like John McCain did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not to mention that they've done polls that have said that Clinton still would have won, that some of the Ross Perot vote would have been pretty much split, and then a lot of those people would have just stayed home.
Right, yeah. I who knows? All right. The CIA's top spy, Michael Sulik, director of the CIA's National Clandestine Service. I don't think they should call it clandestine, should they? Because it's
looky here, it's a clandestine service.
Look, over here, it's the secret part.
Right.
Hmm. Just saying. He said the U.S. has not suffered at all because of the decision to ban waterboarding. The U.S. intelligence has suffered. Not at all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Only those that are, you know, employed to do waterboarding have suffered.
Those jobs did go away.
Yeah. I blame Obama for that.
Doesn't Obama care about jobs?
What about the torturers?
All the waterboarding jobs have gone away.
Now, does he have a job training program for them now, you know? You get to work at, like, marine parks or something? Is that what you do now?
Or a waxing, you know. Facility.
Oh, speaking of, I have some North Korean intelligence, Jim.
North Korean intelligence.
The train thought to be carrying Kim Jong-il to China appears to have been a cargo freighter on a journey unrelated to the reclusive North Korean leader, but they thought it was a Kim train.
It was
not a Kim train.
There was supposed to be a train carrying Kim Jong-il to China?
Yes. It was a train full of kimchi.
it was bad intelligence,
Yes. Was he going to visit China? I guess
that
I
was well. There's always rumors that he was a Kim trip because it looked like it might have been his train,
but it
was not.
Is he escaping?
The repressive regime?
Right. I can't stand it here
it's
anymore.
Too repressive. I don't like it.
There's not enough of that one kind of liquor.
Lagavulin.
Exactly. To forget.
Single malt Scotch whiskey.
Oh, making Jim do immature things. Yay! Okay.
Actually, I really like Goldschläger.
I think China has more Zagnut, too.
Zagnut. Chinese Zagnut, the best Zagnut. They don't know how to make it in America anymore. They don't make nothing in America no more.
He just wants to meet Jet Li. That's his whole goal.
All right.
You could be my bodyguard. I could be your long lost pal.
Jim, here's a speciality for you. I just thought, with Easter yesterday and all the religious concern. You know, they're the rapture folks that are big fans of Israel. You know why.
Because they're going to be all converted just before Armageddon.
Yeah, they want to be their friend. They just don't tell them the ending.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, you all die unless you convert.
If Jesus comes back, does that make him a super zombie? Because, you know, he already came back once, and if he comes back again,
Anyway, my point is, I was reading in my Newsweek magazine. Newsmeek? No, that's not what I meant to say.
No.
They're very bold on some stories, particularly this one. But, you know, as usual, like, Obama takes heat from the right on everything. You know, doesn't matter. Of course, now it's his fault that there's no peace. And, you know, that, oh, things are the worst ever with Israel. But there's a story about Netanyahu.
Yeah, exactly.
How he's the one undermining, you know, everything that's happening. Yes. Exactly. I thought it was the fine American that wrote this writes, watching Netanyahu's government over the past year, I've concluded he's actually not serious about the Iranian threat. If tackling the rise of Iran were his paramount concern, would he have allowed a collapse in relations with the U.S., the country whose military, political, and economic help is indispensable in confronting this challenge? If taking on Iran were his central preoccupation, would he have subordinated petty domestic considerations and done everything to bolster ties with the U.S.? Phoebe likes to think of himself as Winston Churchill warning the world of a gathering storm, but he should bear in mind that Churchill's single obsession during the late 30s was to strengthen his alliance with the U.S., whatever the costs. And he's the one. I mean, the building settlements and all that stuff. To me, I mean, this is not Obama's fault. I'll be back with more of this.
It's deliberately provocative.
Yeah, I will be back with more of this as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is
Stephanie Miller,
the disgusting, smelly hippie I'm dating.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, joined in studio here in New York by Rude Pundit from rudepundit.blogspot.com. Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward in the LA studio as we are the, you know, we went by. We were bi-curious for a while. Mm-hmm. We're bi now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fine American, as I was mentioning, Jim, in this Newsweek article, because I'm sick of it. Well, the right wing's going to blame Obama for everything, no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But in my, this is what used to make me crazy. I have a good friend who grew up in Israel and was in the Israeli army, and I used to get in fights with her parents all the time. They're like, we love George Bush. He's better for Israel. I'm like, no!
Then let him be president of Israel.
No! I feel like, you know, Bill Clinton was one of the best friends Israel ever had. That was the closest I think we've ever gotten to actually,
and,
you know.
And supporter of Bibi Netanyahu killed Yitzhak Rabin, and they brought in Netanyahu.
Yeah, but anyway, this is a good article in Newsweek about how this is largely Netanyahu's fault. I mean, he's building the settlements and all of this stuff that is just not helpful.
He just wants to deal with AIPAC. He doesn't. Right. He probably doesn't even recognize the legitimate government of the United States.
The right wingers last week all on TV talking about, oh, this is the worst relations we ever had with Israel. It's Obama's fault. There's this paper in Israel, no fan of Obama, that wrote, Netanyahu has succeeded in one short year in power to plunge Israel's essential relationship with the United States to unheard of depths. They also talk about Iran in the Newsweek article. Iran's rise has also placed Israel in the unusual position of being on the same strategic side as many eight major Arab states as well as the United States. The single biggest challenge for these countries is that Iran has appropriated the Palestinian cause, which makes it difficult for, say, the Egyptian government to take a public stand that's hostile to Iran. Hmm. Lowering the temperature on this issue would benefit the Arab states, strengthen their will to stand up against Iran, and contribute directly to Israeli security. But Israel right now appears to be largely unconcerned about the dangers that gather, at least unwilling to make any real concessions to deal with them. So anyway, just a really good, I think, analysis of what's happening over there. Over the past decade, in various public forums, Arab statesmen led by King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia have declared they'd be willing to normalize relations with Israel if the Palestinian problem were resolved. Palestinians in the West Bank have extremely good leadership. He talks about Abbas, committed to a peaceful path to a two-state solution. The prime minister committed to a competent, clean, effective Palestinian government that focuses on economic growth, not violence. There are problems, Hamas being a central one, but compared with any previous point in their history, the Palestinians are being led wisely. If gradually the two-state solution becomes impossible to implement because of Israeli settlements, Palestinian rejectionism, whatever, Israel's own Arab population will threaten the state's Jewish character and be even further radicalized. Israel will be left with only the institutions of government, having undermined both its democracy and its Jewish character. The traditional threats also persist. exist. Hezbollah's rockets will gain range and power. Explosives and chemicals will become easier to deploy. Terrorists will eventually be able to breach high walls and strong air defenses. Israel has adopted a purely military response to these security threats, but throughout history, the most durable security has come from political arrangements that reduce or eliminate external threats. Bibi Netanyahu makes bold speeches about protecting Israel, but when it comes time to act, he has cobbled together a coalition of extreme parties, made concessions to them on crucial issues, given them free rein to undermine Israel's broader security, and pandered to his public's most populist instincts, all to ensure that he can sit in the prime minister's chair. I think good, you know.
It seems like the Bush administration.
I was just going to say, he sounds like the Bush administration of Israel.
And
exactly.
It was during the Bush administration that a guy named Lawrence Franklin was convicted of espionage for Israel. It was in 2005. Yeah. He worked in the office of Douglas Feith, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where we got our Feith-based intelligence
yes.
for the Iraq War,
mm-hmm,
yes,
mm-hmm.
which was so helpful.
I just, what did they expect but when Netanyahu came to office? What did Israel expect by electing his party? I mean, I don't, they're sort of, these seeds were planted by Israel.
Yeah.
And sorry, you have, it's just like us with Bush. We have nobody to blame but ourselves right now. For what happened.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
And Florida. So, I blame Florida.
And Ohio.
Yes. In fact, I blame Florida for Israel also. So.
All right. Rude Pundit has a great piece today on the left and right wing, you know, how they're spinning this. What you cannot spin it any other way than that there is actual violence happening fueled by right wing rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make the analogies, right? That, oh, well, that the left wing back in the 60s, something.
Yeah. Well,
right, right.
The Weather Underground just blew up buildings. They tried to avoid casualties.
Right. And in fact, they gave up violence when they did accidentally kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Anyway, but yeah, and they tried, like, as you always say, Ruth, they just sort of dismissed Tim McVeigh, like, oh, that one doesn't count.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No.
It's like George Bush apparently had no security failures on his watch, according no terrorist incidents, according to Rudy Giuliani on his watch.
Clean sheet.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything was fine. Hunky dory.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, did you hear, by the way, the one Tea Party blogger that hinted that Pelosi's life was in danger and warned of 1,000 little Wacos?
Really?
I mean, this rhetoric is everywhere, and they try to deny it.
Misinterpreting it.
Oh, I see.
Deliberately
uh-huh.
misinterpreting the.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that just a campfire, 1,000 little Wacos?
What's his Mike Vanderboog. You know this. You're in the blogger world, Rude. I don't know this guy. He encouraged his readers to throw bricks at the windows of Democratic headquarters around the country. He justified his call for vandalism, said the attacks were warning shots because people like him will next threaten the life of Nancy Pelosi. Oh, I see. So you need to throw bricks so that he's not doesn't get mad enough to actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's.
He said, and fight health reform with 1,000 little Wacos. He said, I will tell you, may I tell you my personal motive for doing this? I'm trying to save the lives of Nancy Pelosi and every one of these people who do not understand the unintended consequences of their actions. We refuse to participate in the system. We refuse to pay the fines. We refuse arrests. Now, where do you suppose that's going but 1,000 little Wacos?
Wow. That's like saying that you steal porn so that you won't rape. I mean, it's
By the way, he reportedly is dependent on Social Security disability benefits.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big anti-government guy.
Sometimes I think the Obama administration should show, you know, what it could do and, like, use somebody like that as an example and go, yeah, sorry, man, you're going to need wheelchair oil on your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Need that WD-40 without our government check.
You don't like the government? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Done.
Yeah.
Can't
some
use the
of this.
Bridges.
You know, in all these incidents that were better publicized, I missed some of this, but it reminded me when I read your piece this weekend again. Representative Devin Nunes, he's a Republican of California, he excused the racist homophobic slurs at recent Capitol Hill tea parties by saying they were a justifiable response to the Democrats' totalitarian tactics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. If you don't like health care, it's okay to use the N-word. Then you get an exception for
right.
that.
Right. By voting on something through the legislative process, that's totalitarian.
Right.
Okay, good.
He then went on to liken Nancy Pelosi and the water policies that she's working on in California as they are like the policies of Saddam Hussein and the current Zimbabwe dictator.
Mm, mm, mm. So water policy equals rape rooms is what this guy is saying.
And he took a shot at aides who work on Capitol Hill, calling them staff thugs. See, the boner called them punks, and these are now their staff thugs that work for...
I think that's actually, you know, a promotion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a punk can't do much. A thug, though.
Yeah. Well, then I think congratulations are in order.
That's like a made man.
Punk
yeah.
is a yes. thug in training. Yeah.
Yes.
Who was it? We played somebody in Right Wing World earlier, didn't we, Jim, saying that the Democrats' offense was walking? Oh, Rush Limbaugh said.
Yeah.
They were walking through the Capitol.
In a provocative
That's like asking
manner.
To be called the N-word.
That's right. That's right. They were walking with a large gavel.
They
and
walked across the street, my friend.
And smiles. How dare they smile?
Oh, Nancy Pelosi smiled. Yeah.
Right,
so she was asking for sexist stuff to be yelled at her.
Yes.
She and was, to be spit on and
because
stuff.
Because
yeah.
she had a larger gavel than all of the men there had.
Yes,
yeah.
we have that.
They will do anything. They can to discredit the Tea Party. You, there's no reason that group of people from Congress had to walk through the crowd. They never go to the Capitol that way. They get there in the underground tunnels. They want, and Pelosi carrying that big gavel with that excrement-eating grin on her face, they were trying to provoke everybody into an incident.
She
and when it didn't happen,
it.
They said it did anyway.
She wanted it.
You know, if she'd taken the tunnels, they'd have then
yeah.
said,
right.
oh, they crept underground.
They scurried like rats
yeah.
In the tunnels, under the dark of night. Newt Gingrich explained the Democratic leadership has to take some moral responsibility for encouraging death threats and terrorism
what?
Because of the way they conducted the health care debate.
Mm. Oh, my God. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, frankly.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Don't make me hit you. Don't make me hit you.
Frankly.
It is. Why are you hitting yourself? It's the one your brother would make you hit. Why are you hitting yourself?
Frankly.
See? Exactly, Newt. The only article that's given me some hope is Jim is the official historian of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm getting all these promotions today.
You know stuff. Hmm. History suggests. Can I have my high school educational film strip, please? History suggests that passions fade. One can only hope.
Mm-hmm. It's like marriage.
Well, because the iPad's out now, so maybe they're distracted. The yes. unruly mobs like, look, it's an iPad.
they could put signs on the iPad. I wonder if that should be an app somebody invents, teabagger signs.
At first blush, the spasms of anger over the health care law signed into law by President Obama seem strong enough to fuel a years-long argument over government power or not. History suggests there's a better chance the passions over the country's new health care regime will cool with an alacrity that seems unthinkable in the clenched fists and snarling insults of the recent debate. This has been a familiar pattern since New Deal days. Government programs from Social Security to Medicare that were launched amid incendiary arguments within a short time became sacrosanct, protected by a bipartisan consensus that was nowhere to be found at passage. Yeah, when this gets popular, Jim, and the polls turn around, I'm gonna love watching the Republicans run on health care reform. Look what we did.
Was it Blanche Lincoln now that's doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She always stood with President Obama. Don't you remember?
We voted against the bill because we were for it.
Right, right. I stood with President Obama, and that was the ad that's directed at the black community some Arkansas town, who knows.
In fact, historians like Jim Ward of social programs see no correlation between the intensity of controversy at the birth of a program and its ultimate popularity. Social Security was going to unravel free enterprise in the view of critics in 1935. So health reform, which is designed to offer access and insurance to 32 million people, meaning a total of 95% of Americans would be insured when the program is in full swing. This is what we said throughout the debate. One analyst said, I think that's what the Republicans were frightened of. They think President Obama has a chance of making health reform him and perhaps for the Democratic Party what the Social Security Act did for FDR.
Oh, yeah. Between this and the job numbers turning around, they're watching their entire platform just disappear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they've got Michael Steele. So they're good.
Yeah.
Tom Harkin, people like Tom Harkin have called the reform bill a good first step, saying Democrats can use it as a platform for which to build out more and better benefits over time, perhaps even a public option.
Yeah. And if the insurance companies keep behaving like asshats, there's...
Yes.
Grayson's Medicare for all.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly this foot-in-the-door approach that Republicans fear and why they're in such a hurry to repeal it before it takes root. The Medicare battle, for instance, was the socialized medicine of its day. To opponents, it was a slippery slope, the end of freedom. Remember those Ronald Reagan fear-mongering ads? The head of the AMA said it was at least 9 parts evil and 1 part sincerity. This is back when Medicare began.
Wow.
And now that it's taken... And now that it's taken hold, even when conservative politicians don't like it, they don't touch it. Yeah, Reagan wanted to tear down that socialist wall back in...
Tear down that wall.
You know what I love is that recording of him on Medicare just sounds like he's sucking on a cigarette the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On a Chesterfield.
Well, yes.
While wearing Van Heusen shirts.
Yeah. In 1962, when President Kennedy unsuccessfully tried to pass Medicare, 28% of those polled by Gallup had a favorable boo, 24% unfavorable, 33% had no opinion.
33% were like, huh?
What? In the healthcare debate, when voters were asked about creating a government-run insurance program similar to Medicare, thank you, Alan Grayson, the popularity soared, with polls last year showing at least two-thirds of Americans favored such a program. So, yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned. Stay tuned, everybody.
Two-thirds of this country is just the fringe.
Exactly. 47 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of the Rude Pundit, live in studio with us here in New York on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow, Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, our Tuesday pal, humorist extraordinaire from the Boston Globe. I didn't mean to yell out another writer's name in your presence, Ruth.
That's okay. Charlie's a good guy.
He is. And Christine Romans from Your Money.
Yes, on CNN.
From CNN, yes.
Oh, now I'm offended.
Now you're mad. All right.
Are you rocking the mic like a vandal, Stephanie?
Yes, indeed I am. Mm. I will be rocking the mic on The Edge Show tonight on MSNBC. Tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern. Okay. All right. Let's see. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We've been talking about the Republican Party. You know, it's funny. The media gets a talking point, and that is that, oh, the Democrats are in disarray. And you're like, president-elect in the landslide, big majorities, just passed health care. Financial reform is up next. Americans hugely behind financial reform.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Steele's in charge of the Republican Party. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the runner. How many seats will the Republicans win in the fall?
Yes, that's the guessing game already. Conservatives seem more fired up than they've been in years rallying against President Obama, but energy alone won't herald a Republican revolution, and the excitement pulsing through the GOP base masks disputes and divisions the party faces ahead of critical midterm elections. The fight they're already having is between RNC, or, you know, Michael Steele and other Republicans, mm-hmm. who are obviously somewhat displeased with his stewardship, with the
yes.
way he rolls,
yes.
as it were.
Yes.
Fights within the party could hinder the Republican prospects come November. So could the lack of both a leader and a message other than anti-Obama. America already has a Democrat party. It doesn't need two Democrat parties, said Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you. suggesting that Republicans who don't adhere to certain principles, namely his Charlie Crist, are no different from Democrats. I hope they go with Jim DeMint's idea. He famously said, I would rather have 30 Marco Rubios in the Senate than 60 Arlen Specters.
Okay.
And I say go with that.
Yes, yes.
You need to be pure as the driven snow.
I think there's, to an extent, the GOP has prematurely ejaculated on the election, and that they're going to be spent when comes time for the real action.
Oh boy.
Speaking of which, I hate to bring up Dick Armey now.
Yes.
No. Perfect.
He has seemed to take on the de facto leader of the Tea Party role. Mm-hmm. He said they must come to us and show they're worthy of our loyalty. We don't come to them.
Mm. An army of dicks.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He has lambasted, as you know, Obama over everything from his policies to his style, including his use of teleprompters while giving speeches, as they spoke with teleprompters.
Yeah. Of course.
Liz Cheney has assailed Obama for incompetence, misjudgment, and neglect leading up to the attempted terrorist bombing on Christmas, completely
oh my God.
Ignoring the giant successful terrorist attack on her evil father's watch.
Yes. Aren't they the worst family, like, in the history of families? I mean, aren't they our, you know, Borgias or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a single good thing a Cheney has done?
I mean, look at John McCain. Seriously.
Yeah, I can't think. I really think honestly can't think
seriously.
Of a single one.
I think Atticus Cheney in 1754 did something good. Cheney.
Oh, yeah. But he was kind to a horse.
Yeah.
Was
that,
yeah, once.
In a really dirty
look
way.
Look at this pathetic John, this John McCain. This John McCain primary fight. So McCain, of course, with a challenge from the right now, trying to mold himself into what he thinks Arizona wants. As the New York Times recently noted, he's already sharply criticized the bailout bill he voted for, pivoted from his earlier position that Gitmo should be closed, offered only a muted response to the Supreme Court's decision undoing campaign finance laws. His name was on those, too. And backed down from statements that gays in the military would be okay by him if the military brass were on board.
Mm-hmm.
But morphing into Rush Limbaugh at the first sign of political friction, McCain risks exposing himself as a creature of politics rather than a creature of conscience and undermining the very thing Arizonans liked about him in the first place. If McCain continues to react by abandoning his most inconvenient positions, he could be in trouble. In that case, it'll be the senator's disappearing act rather than his past moderation that winds up destroying him.
Sarah Palin pitching for him, so right. Could possibly go wrong.
It's good. Well, didn't Maverick always...
Look how well it worked out the last time.
Didn't Maverick always mean insanely erratic?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
And now poor Grampy trying to prove that he's hip and he's on the Twitter.
You don't know what way he's going to go.
He Twittered. He was trying to prove he could take a picture of himself with his newfangled iPhone, and mm-hmm. It ended up on a gay porn website.
Guyswithiphones.com.
Yes. Uh-huh. Those damn kids.
Could you send me that website?
I mean, the thing is, he keeps going on TV and claiming stuff that literally there is tape disproving. He recently, you see this one, he recently claimed that he's never favored capping greenhouse gas emissions. What? He's actually co-sponsored cap-and-trade legislation. I mean, he's on record saying exactly that.
But it was different cap-and-trade back then. Then, cap-and-trade meant something like, I don't know, like keeping your mule's blinders. I was going to make an old person joke, but you know what? It's just sad. It's just sad to keep making old people jokes about John McCain.
It really is. It's so old.
I was never in the Navy, my friend. That was a vicious rumor.
All right, and before we go, and now, a story about a dog. Can I have some touching dog story music? Rude Pundit just met my two dogs, Max and Fred, at the cocktail party and said, they're the cutest, most handsome boys.
They're adorable.
After three baby squirrels lost their tree home to a chainsaw, they found a foster mom and a four-year-old toy poodle named Pixie.
Aw.
Wait, did they dig a hole in the dog and make a home in it?
No. No.
Why must I ruin my beautiful dog?
Sorry.
Fred could never do that because squirrels make him insane. He always thinks that the next one's the one he's going to get. That's it for us. I'd like to go to rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you, Rude.
Thank you.
You went for 3 hours. It's time to call your doctor.
Whew, man, I can finally get some relief.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.